Let's go to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10. One verse. Matthew chapter 6 verse 10. While you're getting there, if you've got a Bible and you're looking for it, just so you will know, Wednesday night, tomorrow night, there will be an election held at Eastgate Pentecostal Church where Brother Edwards pastors. He has Brother Tuttle, okay, some of you know Brother Matthew Tuttle, is going to be voted on there to be the pastor tomorrow night. And so Brother Edwards will be, I guess, the bishop, you know. So anyway, anytime there's a change, you just kind of need to keep folks in prayer. Matthew 6 and 10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. I want to talk about and teach tonight from the little subject, thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Lord, open up our understanding and our eyes. Lord, let us have a vision and not just see, but let us have a vision, Lord, beyond our years and beyond even, Lord, our lifespan into the next life. Let your will be done not only in my life, but in my children's life, in my children's children's life, until you come. Glory to God. We give you the praise and the glory for all that you've done and all that you're doing and all that you will do in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I do say I'm thankful for Sister Roxanne having the So Blessed Ladies and thankful for so many that attend there. I understand they're going to Bucky's. If you haven't been to Bucky's, I preached a sermon off of Bucky's one time called Don't Miss Your Exit. How many of you remember Don't Miss Your Exit? Whoa, y'all remember that? I thought I could preach that again. The most important thing in this whole book, believe it or not, is the book of Exodus. It's not Genesis. It's not even Matthew or any of those. It's the book of Exodus. Because if they had never exited, then they would still be there. And everybody gets a chance to exit. He said that I'm going to preach that sermon again real quick. He said that broad is the way that leads to destruction. You're born on that road. But the other one is straight and narrow. Few be there that find it, that find the exit. And when I went to Bucky's that time, it said 263 miles to Bucky's, right outside of Sulphur or whatever, how many miles it was, something like that. I'm like, and the squirrel, these big teeth, you know, this chipmunk. I'm like, who would want to stop there? But then I drove on further, you know, 198 miles to Bucky's. Still a long ways. But the closer I got, the more of the signs, my interest kind of got piqued. And I decided, you know, I might stop at Bucky's. So finally we got close, and there was an exit, and I thought it was going to be, you know, the next one. And Jerry said, I thought you said you were going to stop at Bucky's. I said, I missed my exit. And I had to catch it on the way back. And God gives us a time to exit. He gives you a time, don't miss your exit, to come out of the world and into the kingdom of God. And he told the children of Israel the night of their exodus, he said, I want you to stay dressed. You keep your shoes on, keep your hat on, keep your clothes on, because if you're not ready, you'll miss your exit. And I tell people all the time, I'm teaching Bible studies to some folks, and y'all pray for our Bible studies. People come, there's issues that we've got to deal with. But this is their exit. And God doesn't give you, you know, when you miss your exit, you know what happens? You got to travel a ways before you meet another exit to get back to the exit you missed. All right, and I won't preach any more of that. A kingdom, thy kingdom come, is the Lord was teaching him how to pray. And this was one of the verses, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, if I remember right, there's no sin in heaven. He didn't allow sin in heaven. In fact, he kicked out Satan to earth because he tried to overthrow heaven. And he said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So that if you have the kingdom in you, you've got to kick him out. The Bible talks about a strong man having a house. That's the devil. He said, but when one stronger than he comes in, he first binds that strong man. Right? And you and I have one stronger than the strong man. But we need the will of God to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And believe it or not, tonight, the first king of the earth was Adam. Number one, back to the same statement, he was made in the likeness of God. God is the king. And so when he put Adam on the earth, he said, you will have rulership, dominion, and subdue. And he named all the animals. He was over the animal kingdom. He too was an animal, if you will. But he ruled over all of these animals. Now, what caused Satan to get kicked out of heaven's kingdom up there was because he tried to overthrow the king. Are you understanding? Okay. What got Adam kicked out of the garden was the animal overthrew him. The one he was supposed to have dominion over and rule over, the serpent, the animal, right, went against him and what he loved. And sometimes if you can't get what you want, go against what they love and then you'll get what you want, right? He went to Eve first. He didn't go to Adam. He went to Eve because if you can get what he loved, then, see, he really wanted what God loved, which was Adam. So Adam was overthrown. The king of the jungle, if you will, was overthrown by what he should have ruled over. And so the Lord comes and talks to the serpent, and he begins right there in so many words to say, there is a kingdom coming. There is a kingdom coming. You may have won this battle, but you will not win the war. I am still the king, and I will reign on this earth. While Adam lost that day, the king that I know won his battle in the garden. You know, they both fought a battle in the garden, right? Christ went to Gethsemane and fought a battle in the garden where he said, nevertheless, if Adam would have just said, nevertheless, he'd still be there. And so you'll find that in the beginning, the kingdoms of the world began at the Tower of Babel. It talks about Nimrod and how he was a mighty hunter and his kingdom was the kingdom of Babel. And at Babel, what was Babel? It was a kingdom. They were one mind, they were one speech, one language, one this, one that. It was like the one world government that will come. And so this kingdom was set up where nothing that they would imagine would be restrained from them because they were working together in a kingdom. And you know, a kingdom, everything inside of the kingdom should work together. You look at ants, right? And even the Bible said, consider the ants. You can destroy their nest and they're off carrying them little eggs or whatever them little white things are. They're carrying them away. You touch them, they bite you. And it's not long. You can wipe that off and it's no time. They built it back up because they have a kingdom structure. Unfortunately, our churches don't have kingdom structure. They don't. They don't help each other like they need to and work with each other. And it's become little kings and little kingdoms. Instead of one king and one kingdom. Oh, help me this evening. It gets confusing, you know, when you think that we serve one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and you have confusion. And so the Lord did confuse this kingdom by confusing their language. He confused them. And the Bible says that he left off to build. And from there, the world continued to build kingdoms, and they'd get destroyed. And another king would rise, and it would get destroyed. And another kingdom, and throughout the book of Genesis and so forth. And finally Israel said, we want a king. We want a king. And the Lord was offended. It's like I told you Sunday how jealous he is. He was offended. He went to Samuel. This is about the only time you'll see God consulting with somebody other than once with Abraham about the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and as he consulted. But he went to Samuel and said, you know, I feel rejected. I feel like nobody loves me. I feel like I thought, he said, I was their king. I thought I was their king. But no, they wanted a king, like I told you before, an image that they could worship. Men struggle with what they can't see. That's why faith is so important, that we walk by faith and not by sight. Like brother said, when you see it, it's no longer faith. If you could prove God exists, it's no more faith. I've told you that before. You go ahead and try to prove God exists. If you can, you just blew your faith. Faith is believing it without seeing it. And so they finally found them a king, and they put King Saul to be their first king over them, and that kingdom fell. The very next king that they had over the kingdom was David. And guess what the Lord said? I will sit on the throne of David. Woo, hallelujah. This kingdom, he said, David's kingdom shall be an everlasting kingdom. There was something about David's kingdom, my God, that God liked. Can I tell you what he liked about David? We can talk all day long about what we don't like. And as I said, David could never be elected over there tomorrow night. He would never get elected. But yet the Lord said, he's a man after my own heart. I'm going to sit on the throne of David. And that's the message that the Apostle Peter preached on that David. You trusted in David and his bones are with us today. But the man that you crucified, both, he said, even David spoke of him and said, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies my footstool. He said, he's the king, both Lord and God and Christ. And so what was it about David that would make his kingdom? I'll give you 2 seconds. Repentance. Repentance. David knew how to mess up, but did he ever know how to repent? And instead of offering sacrifices of burnt offerings as everybody else did, even with the priest, David didn't do that. He said, I would give you offerings of burnt offerings and sacrifice. He said, but I know you have no pleasure in that. And David would rend his heart and not his garments. His heart was in this thing. And he said, I know where there's a broken heart and a contrite spirit, thou art near. It was based, his kingdom was based upon repentance. Saul would not repent. He would not repent. So what a quick change that the Lord said, this man will be a man after my heart. This is the kingdom I will sit on. I will build my kingdom off of what he did. And so we read on down in time, kingdoms come and kingdoms failed. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And one day, out of the nowhere, out of the wilderness, comes Tarzan, if you will. Dressed in camel suit, eating honey and locusts, it was nobody you would go to listen to. You'd say he's wacko. But he came out with power and with words of authority saying, make straight the way of our Lord. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Thy kingdom was coming, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Repent. This is the kingdom that David had. This was a repentant kingdom where if you repent, the king's on his way. If you repent, he'll set up in your heart. And so this man came out saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, meaning it is right around the corner. Hallelujah. And when John the Baptist said, I must decrease that he might increase, you will find that Jesus Christ's first message that he preached, do you know what it was? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He said the same words that John said, because upon the throne of David, I will make my covenant. And it's based upon repentance being the first thing to entering the kingdom of God. And stay with me. I'm going to teach you something here tonight. Jesus gives us parable after parable after parable about the kingdom of heaven. And there's been a lot of speculation, and some probably true, some just creative thinking, about the difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. So when you read in the Bible, you'll see the kingdom of heaven is like unto, and you read the kingdom of God. And I'm not going to try to get so technical to tell you that if you don't understand it, like I'm going to preach it tonight, you're lost. I don't believe in that. I want to try to open up your understanding to what I see in the difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. It's about that much. But I do want to show you what I think is the dividing line. Because the kingdom of heaven would represent the kingdom of earthly instructions. Yeah, write that down, Sister Ray, now. The kingdom of heaven would represent a kingdom where earthly instructions would be given to lead to the kingdom of God. It would lead to everlasting life. It would lead, let me jump ahead, to being born again. So many of these parables that Jesus had, he talked about the kingdom of heaven is like unto. And I we're going to go over some of these, and I'm just going to paraphrase as much as I can for time's sake. But he put forth, as he's taught his disciples, a number of these parables, saying the kingdom of heaven is like unto. And at the end, in Matthew chapter 13, 51, he asked a question. It's kind of like the one he asked concerning the parable of the sower. He said, do you understand this one? Because the parable of the sower is without doubt the most important parable in the Bible. Because he said, if you don't understand this one, you won't understand the rest of them. So he asked them this question. He said, Jesus saying to them, have ye understood all these things? The kingdom of heaven is likened to this. The kingdom of heaven is likened to that. And when he got through, he said, do you understand all these things? They say unto him, yea, Lord. Yes. And so he's asking them about understanding. He didn't say, have you obeyed these things? Are you going to do these things? He said, do you understand them? So what I'm submitting to you is that the kingdom of heaven was based upon instructions and understanding. So that when you read the next verse, you see, then said he unto them, therefore every scribe, what was a scribe? Was someone who declared to understand. Someone who declared to be an authority in the written, the scribe, the written word of God. Whenever Jesus would do something, the scribes and the Pharisees would show up and they'd go, wait a minute, it didn't say that here. What he was trying to bring in, listen close, listen very close. He was trying to bring in a new thing. The scribes were all about the old thing. And he had trouble bringing in the new thing so that he put forth a parable. You can't put new wine in old bottles or else you burst it and lose the content, right? So he was trying to teach him, I'm ushering in a new thing, but you have to be a scribe of the old and the new, you have to understand these things. So he says to them, then said he unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven, you see, it's about instructions. The kingdom of heaven is about, it's like unto this, it's instructions, so it's about earthly things and how they compare to heavenly things. So he said, instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder. So in asking them the question, he puts forth another parable. And said, it's like unto a householder which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and things old. He even put the new before the old. I always say old and new. He said new and old. Meaning the latest things and the older things. And so we're instructed right here about the kingdom of heaven. So that we should understand, listen close, the Old Testament and the New Testament. So that we should understand the old ways that God worked and the new ways that God worked. So that we don't want to take away the householder. How many of you live under some kind of roof? No homeless folks here, right? Okay. Well, in your house, you have some old stuff and you have some new stuff. Now, just because you got some new stuff, don't mean you have to throw away the old stuff. Now, sometimes men hold on to old stuff too long. I realize that. Sometimes I miss clothes in my closet. And I say, what happened to this? She said, well. So he's bringing in some new, and he's telling him, if you're going to be a good scribe, like the scribes that he's been dealing with were too traditional, Brother Valentine. They were too stuck with the letter of the old, so he told them that the letter killeth, but the spirit maketh alive. And he was ushering, bringing in the spirit of the new and not really condemning the letter of the old. But he said, if you got to understand this, and if you understand that, then you'll understand this. But if you don't understand that, you'll never understand this. And they didn't understand that, so they couldn't understand this. So he said, do you understand these things? Yeah, Lord. Then if you understand that, then you'll understand this. Last time I checked, second grade comes after first grade. You've got to understand some things to move here. And if you want to grow in God, let me tell you something. You need to be in a church where they teach the Word of God. I'm not against all other things, but I'm going to tell you, the growth that you'll ever have is because the Word of the Lord is taught, even more than preached. It's taught. Even they said many times, I know that thou art a teacher sent from God, for no man can do these things. It's revelation. Teaching is revelation. And so he says, do you understand these things? Yeah. So we're not getting rid of the old, but we're going to have to accept the new. And Christ was riveting these things together. He was the bridge. John the Baptist was the last of the centerpieces. He was the last. He was right in the middle. He was Old Testament and he was New Testament. Because he said there's not arisen a prophet greater than John the Baptist. But yet he said that he preached and the kingdom of heaven is preached. So he said, I spoke in times past by prophets and things of this nature, but now the kingdom of heaven is preached. You've got to make the transition. Now, we're not getting rid of the prophets. We're not getting rid of all these other things. But Lord, without the Old Testament and learning the Old Testament, I would just be merely accepting the New Testament and not understanding the New Testament. There's a lot of things, if you're not careful, you go to church, you accept them because pastor said so, or that's just the way we've always done it, but you really don't understand it. But if I understand something and get it in my gizzard, and I told y'all about the craw last time. Now, how many of you know what a gizzard is? Anybody have a gizzard here? Go see the doctor if you do. Get that in your gizzard and let that grind it around, and you'll find out that understanding things is more important than accepting things. Because if I understand it, I'll easily accept it. But if I don't understand it, well, then why do I have to do that? Okay. So John the Baptist was kind of both, whereas Christ came in teaching and preaching about the new kingdom. When his disciples, when he called them, they heard him talking about, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. My kingdom is not of this world and all this kind of stuff. Well, they were thinking he was going to set up an earthly kingdom, and they didn't like the kingdom they were in with King Herod, so it sounded good. I mean, this man can do miracles, so I'll sit on the right and you sit on the left and let him do his miracles. But they were wrong. So in this parable, let me quickly go over some of these that are in the parables of the kingdom of heaven. He said in one parable, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a sower of good seed. You can read all these in here, but they have one. All of them have one meaning, and that's the reason I'm wanting to teach this to you tonight. They all have one basic meaning. And that's why he said, if you're going to teach about me, you have to understand this. And I really think if you're ever going to effectively pastor people, you have to understand this, what I'm fixing to teach you. And so the kingdom, he talked about the kingdom of heaven likened to a sower of good seed. I hope and pray that as the minister of this church, I sow good seed. But even while the man was sleeping, I do sleep and I can't watch all of y'all and I can't be a sheriff and I'm not trying to be. But while the man was sleeping, the enemy came in and sowed some bad seed. Unaware, he didn't know. He just thought everything was going good. And servants came in and said, I thought you sowed good seed around here. I thought you preached the gospel around here. I thought you was a... Then why are they sitting on the pew? Why are they doing this? Why do they look like that? Why do they do that? I'm just preaching the good word of God, you know. I can't... They said, well, let's go out there and rip them out. Let's go tear them up. Let's go tell them they don't get right. They're going to hell. He says what he said. Leave them alone. Leave them alone until the time of the harvest. You know what the time of the harvest is? It's never harvest time until it's ripe. Did you understand that? It's never harvest time until it's ripe. You can pick your corn early if you want to. You won't eat it because it's not ripe. But when it's ripe, it's time. And he said, it's not ripe. So he said, no, leave it alone, because if you go pull John up, Mary's going to get out of church. You pull Steve up, Pam's going to struggle. They're too tied together. They got roots together. Yeah, but they're all, they're competing with the sunlight. They're competing for the moisture. He said, yeah, but you'll kill them. So leave them alone until the time of the harvest. Now, what he's trying to say to them, there is a concept that we need to learn what he's trying to tell them, because it's consistent through the rest of these. Take it all in, use what you can, and let the rest go. Take it all in, use what you can, and let the rest go. It is a concept of just general life. While I'm sitting here, you're taking it in. You're using what you can, and you're letting the rest go. That's why you're part of this kingdom. If you don't do that, you're not going to be part of the kingdom very long. Even a car has to take something in. You close the tailpipe off and see what happens to that car. It's going to die, right? I guarantee you, it's going to die. Everything has to be taken in. You don't say, everything has to be taken in. And when you take it in, you use what you can, you get the good out of it, and you let the rest go. Okay, my harvest may be a little affected by these other plants out there, but if I pull them all up, I get no harvest. So this is the concept. Now watch close, because each one of these is the same thing. The next one he said is, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a mustard seed. A tiny is the smallest of all the seeds, right? Tiny little seed, yet it grows into a big tree, and all kinds of birds lodge there. I used to say light there. That's wrong. It said lodge there. So there's going to be in a church some lodgers that really aren't part of the church. And let me just say this. How can I say this without... Everything that is in the world is in the church. Not the church of the living God, not the one where... That's why Christ said, upon this rock I build my church. But when you look at a church or churches, you will find the same dirty stuff. There are liars. There are whoremongers. There are thieves. There are people that cheat on their taxes. There are people that cheat on their spouses. The whole thing. Tell me that's not in the church. Come on. It's in the church. And so everything that's in the world is in the church. So you have to take them all in, use what you can. See, he's teaching them, and let the rest go. He's teaching them about the new kingdom come. So this mustard seed grows into a great tree. I'd go out there and chop that tree down. You know, I don't like crows at all. So I like little bluebirds and things, but them buzzards keep lighting up. You can cut your tree down if you want to. You'll lose your bluebirds, your redbirds. You'll lose everything else. He's teaching them a concept. So we go to the next one. You ready for the next one? All right. He said it's like a treasure that's hid in a field. A man goes out, he says, and he, like, what is that? Oh, my God, look at. And the Bible says, and he hid. Now, it has been taught, and I don't think correctly, that he hid the treasure. No, what he hid was himself. The treasure was already hid, and nobody had found it. So he didn't go rehide it. What he did was, he didn't want to talk to you today. He didn't go to town that day. He didn't go to Walmart that day, afraid somebody said, what you been doing? I saw you out there in that field looking at, what did you see? He's just like, I hide. Because you know why? I'm going to buy the whole field. I'm going to take it all in. Come on. It may have beer cans, used cigarette butts, rocks, all kinds of things out there that I don't want. But to get that treasure, you see, he's teaching them. Take them all in, get what you can, and let the rest go. This is the kingdom of heaven. You ready? There's one more. A man seeking goodly pearls, right? He's picked up a few pearls along the way, but he's not really proud of them, but they're all right, you know. But then he finds the pearl of great price, the truth, if you will. And when he finds that, he takes what he had, he sells them all to buy the one of great price. But what would have happened if he hadn't picked up the little ones that, I don't think that one's worth. But by collectively taking these smaller ones, he was able to buy the big one. So he took them all in, he used what he can, and he let them go. I lied, there's one more. The net. Wonderful illustration. For the kingdom of heaven is like a net, he said, that's cast into the sea. Now, if you've got a net that only catches shrimp, I want to patent that net. If you got a shrimp troll that don't catch the mud and the rocks and somebody's fishing rod and an anchor and cans and all that, you come see me after church, we'll hide it. But he said, it's like a net that's cast into the sea. It's going to take them all in. We're going to bring it to the shore. We're going to use what we can, and we're going to let the rest go. He said, do you understand what I'm telling you? Because every scribe must be instructive in the kingdom of heaven with the old and the new. The kingdom of God was coming. It was coming. But the kingdom of heaven was based upon instructions. Now, in a few cases, not to be snared tonight, in a few cases, you can go back and you will see one writer said kingdom of heaven, the other one said the kingdom of God. And my belief for the reason for that is because you will see that in the all the epistles that are written, all of them, none of them said the kingdom of heaven. Every one of them said the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God would be based upon birth. The kingdom of heaven was based upon instructions of how to bring yourself to birth or administer things done on earth. One was more carnal, the other one was spiritual. So the writers of these understood that one led to the other. So that if you lead me to that, it's just, they're basically the same. Although you can get all instructions you want to about how to be born again and never be born again into the kingdom of God. So I submit to you this morning, this evening in my teaching, that we have to understand all the old and all the new, or else we'll get confused. And God's not the author of what? Confusion. So we read in Romans chapter 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. He's showing you it's not earthly things. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom of heaven was at hand, but the kingdom of God has come unto you. Am I making any sense to anybody? So he said it's not meat and it's not drink, but it's spiritual. It's righteousness and peace and joy in the Spirit. In the Holy Ghost. And so we see that the kingdom of God was based upon the Ghost. So that all the writers of the New Testament all said kingdom of God, because they were all writing to people full of the Holy Ghost. And not people who needed to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So they didn't go about saying the kingdom of God is at hand like Jesus and John did. But when you talk to people that are born again, you need to say, hey, now wait a minute. The kingdom of God is not meat, it's not drink, it's not the works of the flesh, it is the fruit of the Spirit. But when you're bringing sinners to Christ, it is a way of instructions through the kingdom of heaven to get to the kingdom of God. Am I making any sense? For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is accepted to God and approved of men. He that is in these things, do you understand these things? That's what he asked them. serveth Christ, if you serve Christ, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So that if you have Christ in you, you're all pleasing the God of heaven. Are you understanding that? And approved of men. The Bible says when a man's ways please God, even his enemies are at peace with him. So this is the kingdom that was to come as he taught his disciples. Pray as they come this evening. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The only way the will of God can be done on earth as it is in heaven is if the Spirit of God is in you. Because the Holy Ghost, and I was teaching Brother Miller here recently and telling him the king, see, people have a misconception, and we have new people here. I know I'm probably, some of y'all are going like, I don't think in the box. I just think outside the box. The Holy Ghost in itself does not save you. Because if that's all it is, you just get the Holy Ghost, then everybody that ever got it is going to be saved. What the Holy Ghost is a guide. That's what it says. It leads you and guides you into all truth. And what is he? He is truth, right? He is truth. And so he leads you and guides you into God. And so if I, for example, I want to go duck hunting in Hackberry. I don't, but if I did, and I'd say, well, I'm just going to go out there and bring my decoys, and man, I wouldn't have a clue. I'd fight skeeters and alligators and nutria rats and everything trying to find me a blind to go hunt. But if I hire me a guide, that guide has been there, done that. He said, just follow me. Well, Paul said, follow me as I follow him. Just follow me, and I'll lead you to a true and a proven path. That I've been there, done that, and it works. Yes, sir. So the Holy Ghost is what God sent back. Because he had already been there, done that, and sent it back. So when you put that inside of you, it leads you and guides you to salvation. Because you're never saved until he says, enter in, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I make you ruler. Nobody has ever heard that on earth. It's not until you pass from this life. So you're not saved yet. But I'm being led into salvation. And I was telling Brother Miller about people that want to be saved. I think the illustration I gave you was a boat, wasn't it? And a life jacket. I told him, I said, you know, I've been this all my life, and it's like blind Bartimaeus. He wanted his sight. And as Jesus was passing by, he could have said, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It's not what he did. I won't do it as loud as he did, because y'all wouldn't be able to take it. He was so loud in saying, Jesus of Nazareth, thou son of what? Oh, we're back to that again. Thou son of David. Have mercy on me. That's that repentant prayer we've been talking about. The kingdom of heaven was coming to him. Have mercy on me. And they said, oh, you're going to disturb him. Shut up. He said, it ain't you blind, it's me. You shut up. And he cried out the more, Jesus. And the Lord stopped and turned and said, bring him to me. And the same ones that told him to shut up had to bring him to Christ. And so I was telling Brother Cody, I said, if you fall out of a boat, it's a big ship and it's leaving, you're going to lay there in the water and go, hey, y'all, I'm drowning. Save me. Yeah, you're afraid they're going to leave you. Hey, you're going to give it all you got. And I'm telling you, I'm waiting to find lost people. Lost people give it all they got. Lost people know how to pray. Let me tell you, lost people know how to get with the program because they feel like they're missing the boat. Take it all in. Use what you can. and let the rest go. In every situation in life, we need to have this principle that we take it all in, we get what we can out of it, and we let the rest go. Whatever you tonight are facing, I try to always bring it back to your situation in your life, because you all have different situations going on tonight. Take it all in. Use what you can. But by all means, let the rest go. Find the good in every situation and let the bad go. Because if you don't, it will destroy you too. Hallelujah. So do you understand tonight what I'm trying to teach you? The kingdom of heaven is about taking them all in. Hallelujah. Come one, come all. He that hath no money, let him come. We'll take the good and let him let the bad go. You remember the parable of the tree? You remember that parable that didn't produce? He said, the gardener, the owner came, he said, "Hey, boy, that tree right there, how many years has it been there? How many years was it? Two or three years? Three years. I hadn't seen nothing out of them. Nothing. They're not showing me any fruit of righteousness at all. It's just taking up the ground. It's just taking up." And he said, "Could you give me one more year? That's my job. Give me one more year." He said, "I'll dung about it. I'll prune it. I'll water it. Yeah, I dig about it. I do all these things." Which kind of lets me know he might not have done that those first 3 years. Because he quickly said, "Let me do this. Try this." And he said, "If it don't work, then who cuts it down? You cut it down. I'm just going to take everybody in. I'm going to use the good. And I'll let the Lord let the rest of them go." Can you stand with me tonight? Whatever you're facing, take the good in, let the rest go. Sing it with us.